Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Holiday Gift Shop here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, but now that the holiday season is approaching, you know, people have to buy gifts, and we thought that would be an excellent opportunity for us to, like, unload, like, make available.
Yeah, watch your tongue, boy.
I shouldn't say unload. Make available some of the terrific items that we use here. I mean, we personally use these very items here at Car Talk Plaza.
That's right. Look, like, for $79.95, a mere $79.95.
That's nothing. I mean, that's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket, so to speak.
That's right. I mean, it is. We have the Car Talk Head of Hair in a Can. Now, to those of you who are not late-night TV aficionados, this may just look like an ordinary can of 10W30 motor oil, but look closely.
Yeah, it says motor oil right on
here. Not you, knucklehead. I know it says motor oil, but this is actually a complete hair restoration system.
How can it be a complete hair? You're nuts.
Well, here, just dip a few fingers from each hand into the can.
Let me try it here.
Okay. And then you smear it on the top of your head like this.
Ew, this is disgusting.
Oh, boy. All right, I'll go on to the next item.
All right.
Here we have these beautiful chrome-plated hexagonal rings, perfect for that someone special.
These aren't rings. These are lug nuts.
Maybe they are to you. I got my wife convinced that they're rare gems.
You're nuts. Do I get to read mail or not?
I don't know.
I don't have enough good mail.
If you have a good letter, read it. If you don't, we'll just take a call.
No, take a call.
All right. If you have a question about your car, you can call us at 1-800-332-9287. If you don't have a question, consider yourself one of the lucky ones. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Mike in Salt Lake City.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
We're all thrilled to talk with you.
Well, so you won't be in a few minutes, but what can we do for you, Mike?
Well, let me give you a puzzler.
A puzzler, okay.
I drive one of the great land-faring ocean liners, one of the last ones. Anybody want to guess what
Chrysler
it is?
Chrysler New Yorker.
Close.
No.
74 Cadillac Sedan DeVille.
Well, that is,
Yes,
that
Aren't
is at the
gonna
top.
Aren't you going to say what, lead?
Not yet.
No.
It's a rust bucket, but it runs and it gets me there, knock on wood.
Sure, that's good. I mean, I don't see any reason for using up the valuable resources of this country and this planet just to make new cars.
Try a $26 fill-up for a tank of gas.
So what? But think about how much energy and resources it would take to throw that thing away and make a new one.
That's true. That's
how many jobs it would create and fuel the economy, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, think of that, huh?
We don't need more jobs. We've got enough people not doing anything.
Here's my problem, guys.
Okay, we're ready.
I can't get any heat. Let me tell you what I've replaced. The thermostat, the little control box down on the climate control where the vacuum converts to electrical where it all meets.
Mm.
The little blowout switch, or there's a little blowout fuse out on the firewall.
Yeah.
Replace that relay.
You get fan action, but you just get cold air. Is that what you get?
Right, right.
You get plenty of cold air flowing.
A little too much, yes.
Okay. And you replaced the thermostat, but you never really checked to see if there's hot water in there, but there probably is.
Well, guys, if I did the old test where I got the car warm and I put my hands on the heater hoses, they fell lukewarm.
Which ones did you reach? Did you touch?
The ones that go into the heater core.
Did you touch the ones that come out?
Oh, they're both equally.
Well, there's one that goes in and there's
one that comes out.
Right, and they're both equally about the same heat, but it seems to me like they should be hotter.
Oh, they don't feel hot enough.
They should get pretty hot. For example, how do they feel in relation to the temperature of the radiator hoses?
You know, I thought of that, and I didn't go out and test it with you.
Do it now. We'll wait.
I can't. The car is clear the heck downstairs.
All right. Well, here, I got a couple of theories.
Okay.
You had this problem last winter, too?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you toughed it out last winter, but you're older now, and you're a sissy.
Yeah.
So you want to fix it. Does the car overheat in the summer at all?
Never.
It never. It runs nice and cool in the summer.
Yep. You got a classic problem here.
Yeah, I think you have, and the reason the hoses aren't getting hot, that is the hose that goes into the heater core and the one that comes out, is that you're not getting enough flow into the heater core because it's plugged up.
plug the heater.
Yeah.
Core.
And your car is at the right age to have this problem.
You bet it is.
Yeah, this has heteriosclerosis, this
right.
thing.
What's so it going to run me?
It's going to run you a lot, probably. Now, you can try using a flush.
Yeah.
You take the, what you do.
You walk into that little room and you push down that little handle.
You take the.
How's it going to fit a whole 74 caddy in there, though? That's my question.
A little tough.
You take the thermostat out and you will put a can of a heavy duty cleanser, and DuPont makes a stuff which is basically oxalic acid.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, made from oxen.
Yes, oxalic acid made from oxen. And you're going to add this to the radiator, follow the instructions on the can, and you're going to do it and leave the heater on with the hope, albeit small.
It is, yeah, don't have high hopes for this.
That some of this
Salt Lake, that's a very religious city. Pray a lot.
What's
see
that?
If you can get the choir boys to sing around this thing. Is that where the choir boys
that's
are?
That's an idea. We could have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
If you could get them to sort of surround this Seville and sing some interesting songs.
Hallelujah. Or if one of them has a set of wrenches, maybe you can get one of them.
They probably do.
Yeah, you're going to need to replace the heater core. And I honestly don't know what kind of a job it is on this car. Heater core replacements go from being trivial to extremely complicated.
You know, I'll bet it's not that bad.
Remember, this is a land barge. I mean, you can crawl inside the engine compartment and work on it.
And for that reason, it may be easier to do it than it is on some cars.
Yeah,
very good.
And some of the cheaper cars that you think would be have a trivial, heater core replacement are very complicated. But I honestly don't, off the top of my head.
Dodge Dartras do.
Dodge Dartras were trivial.
They were trivial. They still are.
Yep.
They still are. And if you're lucky, this will be trivial. But if it isn't, try the flush stuff first. And if that doesn't work, stock up on the old Bronco Nagurski long drawers. You're going to need them again this winter.
That's wonderful.
Okay, Mike.
I wouldn't miss you guys for the world.
Thanks for calling.
See you later. Bye-bye.
1-800. The Mormon Tabernacle. How do they get all those kids to sing and never mind.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Lisa.
Lisa, is that with a Z?
Yeah.
No.
This is a plain old Lisa.
Plain old Lisa.
As in Lisa Carr.
That's me.
Don't buy it.
That's me.
Where are you from, Lisa?
I'm from Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Originally from New Hampshire, though.
Yeah, well, I detected a bit of New England in your voice.
I thought you would. It's because I'm talking to you guys, so it brings it out.
You're laying
it's
it on thick.
Back. From New Hampshire.
S-H-A.
That's it.
How long have you been there?
7 years.
The weather's great, isn't it?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Compare it to New Hampshire.
It's tremendous.
There you go. Anyway, Lisa, what's up?
Well, I know you guys are just going to love this one.
Yeah, we are. I can
About
tell.
About a month and a half ago, after a long search for a decent used car, don't laugh now.
No, we're not. It was absolutely somber.
I found the deal of a lifetime, a 1990 red with a sunroof Golf, Volkswagen Golf.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't break into laughter.
No, we're not.
See a smirk on my brother's face, but no laughter.
No, I mean, I...
All right, well, at least
I've never met a Volkswagen that I liked, but I have to say that I dislike the Golf a little bit less than I dislike most other Volkswagens.
Good. Okay. Well, I had a Volkswagen Rabbit when I was in college.
Yeah, this is the same car.
It was a great car. I had the car for 3 years, and before I decided to drive it from New Hampshire to South Carolina, I had it checked out. And the mechanic said, this is a tremendous car. You know, you'll get all kinds of mileage out of it. When he went to get my oil filter off, it was rusted on. He said, Lisa, when was the last time you had your oil changed? And I said,
oil?
I didn't know I was supposed to have it changed. So I think Volkswagens are a great car. So anyway, I bought this car. It only had 28,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
About a month and a half into having it. No, wait a minute. A week and a half into having it.
Mm.
When I start it and I drive, say, to my mailbox, there's a clacking sound.
I know the sound.
You know it?
Yes, I know it well.
It sounds like one of those things on your bicycle that gets caught in the spokes?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is it?
Finger. Yeah, that's why it gets caught in the spokes.
This is known as VWVTS, Volkswagen Valve Train Syndrome.
Oh,
yeah. No.
And I just made that up, of course, but some time ago, the original car that you had, the Rabbit, had valves that needed to be adjusted periodically. They had this silly system with shims that had to be removed and measured and new shims installed and whatever. And they decided to replace that for the simple reason that nobody ever adjusted the valves because it was too difficult.
Uh-huh.
They decided to replace that with self-adjusting valves, hydraulically adjusting self-adjusting valves.
Like many, many cars have.
All right, American cars have had this since the 50s, mm-hmm. late 50s, middle 50s, 60s, maybe the 70s. No, they certainly had it since the late 50s, 60s. Since 1960 or so.
Oh, no, I mean, my 56 Chevy had hydraulic lifters.
It did?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, there we go. Since 1956, they've had this. In any case, these seem to be under-designed or poorly designed to some extent because they do make noise because air gets trapped in them. They don't pump up. And the noise will sometimes go away abruptly. Mm-hmm. Everything will be going clack, 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 boom. All of a sudden, it's fixed.
Uh-huh.
I would make sure that you have not overfilled the crankcase, because if you do, you will get foaming in the oil, which will contribute to low oil pressure, making the lifters make noise.
Yeah, I mean, you're not trying to make up for all the years that you never changed the oil in the Rabbit, are you, by, like, throwing extra quarts in once in a while?
No.
No, don't do that.
The mechanic over at the place where I got it from told me that
they all do
probably
that.
A belt.
Yeah, give him a belt. No, it's not a belt.
That's what I said. Well, he's wearing one of those white doctor's coats, so I didn't really trust him.
Oh, you mean a mechanic with an actual doctor's coat?
With the diplomas on the walls and all that.
Jeez, we always had that dream.
We did, yeah. The coats turned black after a while. But he's probably not very well versed in Volkswagenism.
Uh-huh.
And you bought it from a used car dealer or some such thing?
No, he's a Volkswagen dealer.
He's a Volkswagen, and he's telling you it's belts? He's lying. He's lying. There's not a Volkswagen dealer on the planet that doesn't know of this problem.
All right,
and it may be that you have low oil pressure. So I would do the following. Make sure the crankcase is not overfilled.
Uh-huh.
Measure your oil pressure. You can't do it. You'll have to have somebody do it and not this guy with the white coat. Okay, have someone else do it and verify that the oil pressure is within specs.
Okay.
If it isn't, a new oil pump may solve the problem. If it is in spec, I would probably leave it alone unless it begins to do it more than just a few minutes every day.
Okay. It does go away, right, Lisa?
Oh, yeah.
And stays away.
As soon as I start driving along, it goes away.
Yeah, I would probably not worry about it.
That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to apply the same philosophy that I had with my last one.
Well, you know, and more important than anything, don't change the oil. If it's working well with that oil that's in it, leave that oil in it.
Yeah, when you put new oil in it, it's going to screw up those lifters completely. So I would go at least 70, 80,000 miles before you think of changing the oil.
Okay.
Good luck, Lisa.
Thank you.
Just kidding. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, the Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. It doesn't matter if your car is brand new or a vintage rumbler. There's always room to make improvements to take it to the next level and make it feel a little more like you. But how do you know where to go to find the right parts to do that? Well, eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. So whatever you want to do to your car, you'll be able to find exactly what you need at ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Hey, you know, it's time to answer last week's puzzler. And lo and behold, last week's puzzler was based on an inaccurate statement.
Another inaccurate statement.
Oft repeated by my brother. Those of you that have listened to our show for more than a week or two have probably heard my brother say to a caller from Springfield someplace, you know, there's a Springfield in every state of the union. And like most of my brother's emphatic statements, those passion-filled statements, this one was what? Wrong. Not only is there not a Springfield in every state of the union, there are, according
we
to
we don't
letter,
know that for sure.
Nah, the votes are being tabulated. There are, according to a letter that we got last week, about 26 Springfields in 20 states. For example, Alabama has 4 of them all by itself. I don't know how, but they did it. We don't know.
Georgia has 3, as I remember that. I lost
two,
that
two
letter.
2 or 3, yes, of course. Right. Like, you use all the important letters. We don't know if it's true or not, but Dougie spent all last week in Alabama, and he could only confirm 3 Springfields. We shipped them right down there. Anyway.
But I really would like to hear from someone in Alabama explaining to me why you should name 4 different towns the same. Did they couldn't think of a different name?
If they're in different counties, who cares? I mean,
so what's a county got to do with the state of Alabama?
Well, there may have been some geological shift. Maybe part of Alabama was in another state at some point.
That's true.
You never know. Anyway, here's the puzzler. There is a town or city name which is even more popular than Springfield. And our question last week was, what is the most popular name for a city or town in the United States? And the hint, we have a hint, was not Springfield.
But there's a lot of Springfields, you have to admit, 26.
There are a lot of Springfields.
So I may have been wrong when I said there's a Springfield in every state. At some time, that
was
true. I bet
you Centerville is probably more popular.
Shh, don't give it away.
Than Springfield.
I'll bet you at some point when there were only 26 states, I'll bet you there was a Springfield in every state.
You're going to hang yourself again. It's these offhanded conclusions.
Speculations. They're only speculations. I admit that.
Right. Unfortunately, you can't rely on the fact that people don't listen. People pay attention. Anyway, yeah. We've been receiving so many good guesses to this puzzler that I think we should give people another week to send in their answers. After all, it's not an easy thing to do. You have to sit down with a map of the United States and begin to, you know, say,
look.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's Centerville, you say. And then you have to go look and see if there's a Centerville, Massachusetts, which of course there is.
Never heard of it.
It's on the Cape. Next to Osterville.
Oh yes, that's right.
Right? See that?
See that? There you go. It must be Centerville then, huh?
It must be Centerville. I mean, we know that Main Street is not the most popular street name. We'll use that later.
That's right.
I forgot the answer to that one, too.
Anyway, so we're going to hold off for another week on giving the answer because we've had a flood, a literal flood.
You mean we don't know the right answer?
We...
Come on, tell the truth. All right, we'll go through with this charade. We're going to give people another week to answer. Hopefully, Dougie can find the right answer by next week.
So if you want to guess the most popular name for a city or town in the United States, send your answer to it. Could be your town.
It could be.
Think of the excitement if it turns out to be your town.
Maybe it's our fair city, Massachusetts.
I doubt it. Send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Department of Potentially Correct Answers, or DPCA, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. And you could win a fabulous prize. In the meantime,
or
a baseball cap. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Who's this?
This is Jeanette. I'm calling from Coralville, Iowa.
Hi, Jeanette.
From where?
Coralville, Iowa.
Coralville?
Yes, sir.
Sounds tropical.
Coralville. Well, Iowa's on a beachfront. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
I remember reading about Iowa Beach now that you mention it.
Yeah.
So you have coral beaches in Iowa?
Sure. Sure.
All right, Jeanette, we're gonna sell to us too.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a problem that I didn't think was a problem until I started talking to a car mechanic. And the problem is, I'm female and I'm a natural blonde.
Whoa!
So we had trouble communicating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I have this 1988 Chevy half ton. It's a 2-wheel drive, and recently purchased. Okay, and I thought I'd done a good job picking out this great truck. And I get home and it overheats on me. Mm. So I fill up the coolant and the coolant level continues to drop.
Bad sign. You have a 5.7 liter engine in this thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, I took it to a mechanic that I trust and that I can talk with, and he checked it out for free. And said,
he doesn't care if you're a blonde.
Exactly.
He doesn't consider you to be a dumb blonde.
No, he doesn't talk in monosyllabic words.
Yeah, so he knows that you actually have a brain besides.
Yes, so I like him.
Good.
Anyway, he said it's a leaky water pump. And
good.
Because I bought an extended powertrain warranty, I had to take it to a dealer to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it to this dealer, and he put a new water pump on it, but did not want to discuss what other problems might be related to the fact that this water pump has been leaking. And see, I'm going to work this truck pretty hard come this summer.
Uh-huh. And you want to make sure it's strong and capable of taking
this
abuse.
So what happens if the previous owners ran it hot? How can I tell what damage might have been done? What do I do?
Well, how long ago did you have the water pump replaced?
Well, I had the truck for about a week, and I had the water pump replaced, probably a week ago. So I've had the truck for now.
A week ago. And since that time, have you been checking on the level of the coolant?
It seems to be okay.
Okay, that's a good sign.
That's wonderful.
That's a good sign. How many miles are on this thing?
65,000.
So you have a powertrain warranty?
Yes.
For how many miles?
It's good for a year or 12,000 miles. Which
great.
Which is why I thought I should kind of get in here and get things done.
I see.
No, that's good. It would be nice to discover if there were a problem now so you can get it fixed before the summer comes.
Correct.
The most awful thing that could happen was that as a result of its overheating, you have caused a head gasket to get weakened and eventually it'll blow, or you've begun to develop a crack in one of the cylinder heads or the block. And that can happen if you really overheat an engine badly.
Okay.
So one of those three things, or any combination of those, could be occurring in the future.
Three?
And a sign of when I start the truck with a big puff of blue smoke coming out of my exhaust?
No, that's because you need rings. Don't worry about that. That's only
two.
Oh,
big deal.
You have a puff of blue smoke, but it goes away and you don't burn any oil?
Right.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, I mean, I've only had the truck for 2 weeks. Who can tell if I'm burning oil, I guess?
It's but you've driven it. I mean, you haven't had to add oil because we know you're under the hood every day checking the water.
Oh,
the,
sure.
Right. So you haven't added any water to it since the water pump was done.
Correct.
That's been a week.
Correct.
You haven't added any oil. You've checked it, however.
Yes.
I wouldn't be too worried.
Yeah, but I would keep very close tabs on the coolant level.
Now, when you say you're going to be working it hard, you're going to be hauling hogs or something with it?
Well, I have a mule, so I'm actually going to be hauling ass with it.
Jeanette, you can't say that on National Public Radio.
I guess you can.
I just did.
So you're going to put Brighty in the back.
Phoebe.
Phoebe's going to be in the back.
Yes. Along with several of her mule friends, probably.
Oh, sure. She can't travel alone.
So I'm looking at pulling like a four mule.
You're going to pull a trailer. I mean, they're not going to be in the bed of the truck. Obviously, they'd exceed the weight limit.
Right. Well, I could put my girl in the back. Phoebe'd fit in the back. She's only 800 pounds.
And what pray tell do you do with these mules?
I ride her.
Huh.
Well, if you ride her, why is she in the truck? I mean, shouldn't she? Yeah, I mean.
Well, because she doesn't like to walk all the way out to Wyoming to go to the mountains.
Oh, so.
Other thing that I threw in here is that, you know, I'll also be driving through the mountains and such.
Yeah.
So
keep a very close tab on the coolant level and make sure if you start losing even drops of it, then you want
to
immediately.
Start to worry. No, you're a worrywart. Just drive it.
No, it's important. We got 12,000 miles in which we have to find all these problems.
Yeah, but long before the head gasket ever rears its ugly head, this thing will be burning oil to beat the band.
Well, I wondered if I should have like a compression check done.
Don't bother. You can have a head gasket test done.
Okay.
So go to your shop that you typically go to and ask them to do a head gasket test.
Okay.
If they shrug, go someplace else.
Okay.
But there are basically two or three tests. There's a dye test, there's a pressure test, and there's also a test involving checking for presence of exhaust in the cooling system.
Yeah.
Do all the tests, Jeanette, and if they're all negative, just haul mule.
Jeanette, right. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, a pleasure talking with you.
And don't get lost in the mountains.
All right, I won't.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're going to get some messages, then you're going to get the new puzzle, so hang around. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to try to answer your questions about cars, car repair, and psychological dysfunction.
Yes, and I have it. We have here a very sad memo.
Really?
Let me get this paper out of here. A very, dear Tom and Ray, are you ready with that little tape, Jen?
Why is your name always first?
It comes first alphabetically. T and R.
Yeah,
what was your problem?
I mean, it could be Ray and Tom. I mean, just because it comes first alphabetically, you realize the psychological damage is being done to me?
Well, that's why we're talking about psychological dysfunction right now.
Yeah?
And besides, R comes before T, you dummy.
You are. It does!
Dear Ray and Tom, I listened to your program on WSUI in Iowa City. I was a victim. You always hear about
all kinds of
people who are victims of various kinds of horrible abuse.
Yes.
I was a victim of a 1966 AMC Matador.
Oh, yes.
What an ugly car that was.
Yes.
It was so devastating to my social life that I spent all my time playing the tuba. Who would go out with this poor guy? After looking up virtuoso in the dictionary, I realized I didn't qualify. By the way, this guy is Gary McCurdy from Iowa.
Well, you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about why don't you ever hear of any tuba virtuosos?
Yes.
Virtuosi?
Or virtuosi, for that matter. We were.
Yeah.
He doesn't qualify. I am enclosing a tape anyway on the outside chance that you guys don't have a dictionary, or you may not know what a tuba virtuoso sounds like anyway. Sincerely, Gary McCurdy, an Iowa listener.
So he sent us a cassette tape
send us
recording.
A cassette, which Jennifer now is going to. Where is
he,
that?
He has
a.
This is this. Kind of a catchy tune. Yeah. Oh, he's right.
You can see why this guy got no dates, man.
Yeah, I mean, when you know, when you go out with a young lady, you might want to take her up to your place to show your etchings. But you know, when you come like to see my tuba,
yeah.
No, well, he's a loser. It's too bad.
He does consider himself a victim in the true spirit.
And you know what did it to him?
Blame somebody else for everything that happens to you in life.
Well, he's right. He's right. He certainly can lay blame on AMC.
Yeah.
AMC can make you a loser. Boy, that would have been a great ad campaign for them, huh?
AMC can make you a loser.
Well, look, as I explained earlier,
yeah,
we have received so many responses to last week's Puzzler that we have decided that the deadline should be extended another week. More importantly...
Is there some rationale to what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, that gives you an extra week to figure out the answer, Tommy. And oh. I'm going to give the Puzzler in brief.
Yeah.
Despite my brother's earnest pronouncement, lo, these many weeks, there is not a town or city of Springfield in every state of the
Union. I mean, I just want to point out...
No, I will say in your defense, you did say in each of the 48 states.
No, better than that.
The lower 48.
I have disclaimed this dozens of times because I have made this comment for 10 years at least.
And gotten away with it.
Every time I make it, we get a raft of letters and phone calls saying, that's not true. And I have persisted throughout this decade.
You
that,
have.
That there is a Springfield in every one of the 50 states.
You've been called on the carpet, so to speak.
Hoping that the states would come to my aid and name a town Springfield.
Yes, well, gee, wouldn't that like Truth or Consequences, New Mexico or something like that?
Yeah, or Easy Street.
Well.
Or Our Fair City.
In well, anyway, in that vein, we are trying not to look for more Springfields because we know there probably aren't any more than 26. Although if you have information to the contrary, we would certainly be happy to hear it. However, there is a name even more popular than Springfield.
Whoa.
And the question is very simply, what is the most popular name for a city or town in the United States of America?
And when you give us the answer, we have to know...
The most used name.
We want your source so that I can check it to see what the real answer is.
Anyway, if you think you know the answer, send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Department of Potentially Correct Answers, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
MA-022-38.
Is it Hoboken? Is Hoboken the most popular name for a city or town in the whole United States?
I don't think so. I'm going to repeat the address.
Yeah, go ahead.
Again.
Hoboken?
Puzzler Tower.
Yeah.
Department of Potentially Correct Answers, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
MA-022-38. I just wanted to mention how persuasive you are that you convinced me that that T came before R in the alphabet. It's just amazing. He's like a Svengali. The sway my brother has over people by the mere mention of a statistic or a fact that people follow him like lemmings rushing to the sea. It took me a while to... And it's going to take everyone else a while, but they're going to figure you out for what you really are. Anyway.
I'm an open book.
If we get your answer and it happens to be correct and we happen to select it at random, you will be our Puzzler winner for next week and you can win a fabulous prize or something crummy like a Car Talk t-shirt or a baseball hat.
Wouldn't it be nice if we did have a fabulous prize? We don't.
Anyway, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Judy Booker, and I live in Denver.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you know what I noticed the other day? This has nothing to do with Denver. But I never realized until the other day that Mork and Mindy lived in Boulder, Colorado.
Well, everyone knows that.
There's a real house up there. It's a tourist attraction.
But you're from Denver, Judy. I'm sorry to have changed the town on you.
Well,
Colorado is Colorado, you know?
No, Denver, Boulder, it's
Denver,
all wonderful.
Denver, Boulder, Steamboat, yes. They're all the same.
I have my husband has an 80 Chevrolet Blazer. which, as you would say, comes fully loaded. It has a bug screen.
Yes.
And I think we have a case of wretched excess, or better known as warming up the car.
Oh, is he is he the guilty party?
He is the guilty party. I wouldn't do such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a little bit of a problem occasionally with air pollution in Denver.
Yes,
and
we've heard.
He likes to go out and start this car and then take the dog for a walk and then come in and drink his coffee and read the newspaper. And he would deny this, but I think he has been known to take a shower while the car is sitting in the
shower. Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
And he does this summer and winter. It can add up to 10, 15 minutes. And I keep expecting the pollution police to descend upon us, or at least the neighbors to start to complain. And recently I read that this is simply not necessary, that all you have to do is start the motor and drive off, but drive carefully for 10 minutes.
Where did you read this?
It was in one of the Sunday supplements of the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Probably written by some guys who knew nothing about cars.
And of course I threw it out. So he said, well, he doesn't feel that since his car passes the emissions test every year, that he is contributing any more to air pollution than anybody else driving to work, and that his baby needs to be warmed up that much.
And I suppose he could argue that it's no different from just driving for 15 minutes.
Right.
And so,
but he doesn't have to drive for 15 minutes. I mean, if you extend that logic, you should leave it running all night.
Well, don't suggest that he might do that.
He might.
Yeah, I suppose even if you had shown him the article, This notion is so ingrained that you cannot talk him out of this thing. This is going to take, like, brainwashing.
Well, he's very fond of this car.
And he wants it to last forever.
Exactly.
Well, you should tell him that it's not going to if he does this. I mean, that may be the only thing that convinces him that he should stop doing it. Because what he's doing, number one, is he's carbonizing the engine by doing this, because the engine runs inefficiently when it just sits there and idles, especially when it idles cold. And it warms up the fastest when you drive it, when it's under load. So it's not going to warm up faster by having it sit there in the driveway. The only benefit is that he gets heat right away, and it probably doesn't hesitate and run badly.
He's also diluting
the motor oil with gasoline, because a lot of the gasoline that's going in when the engine is cold like that and
warming up
slowly doesn't burn, washes down the cylinder walls, washes away the lubrication, causes scoring of the cylinder walls and rings, and is going to shorten the life of his precious little Sherman tank.
He says this is the first car he's ever owned that he'll never sell, but he might be forced into it.
Yeah, he's wrecking the engine by heating it up like that every day.
And how about the problem with polluting the air?
He is polluting the air more because when he's running it like this, it's on the choke.
With the choke closed, he is putting out 20 times the allowed.
Yeah, I have a suspicion that this came from somewhere in his rearing is the problem.
It's his father. No, it's his father.
Yeah.
There's no. How old is your husband? Is he over 40? He's 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, so his father would have bought cars in the 20s. And in those days, those cars didn't run unless you warmed them up for half an hour. Because they didn't have fancy chokes, and they didn't have all the fancy devices that we currently have.
Just like your car, Tommy.
My car, right.
No, and there's a great temptation, and there's a great feeling that you're doing something beneficial if you let it warm up very slowly and at its own pace. And the fact, it's counterintuitive because it is exactly the wrong thing to do.
See, and the trouble is that by not warming it up, he probably feels that he's doing some disservice to his father who taught him to do this.
Oh, yeah, it's very Freudian.
This is very Freudian.
Yeah.
So I think we have to be very careful how we handle this.
Well, right. Here's the way I would handle it.
Give him a dope slap.
Exactly.
And he's like, hey, stupid.
Turn the motor off, okay?
Shut the engine off.
Good luck, Judy. You have a difficult task ahead.
You certainly do.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Okay. Bye.
We should have an 800 number support group for people like this. I mean, this is a serious psychological problem.
Well, now look what you've done. You've squandered another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug Lavoisier, Pumpkin Lips, Curly. Any other names?
Curly, Pumpkin Lips.
Sakdugas Berman.
Yeah.
Our associate producer and dean of the College of Auto Musicology is Ken Wears Barbie Rogers. Our assistant producer is the ever-vacationing Jennifer Loeb. Our technical advisor is John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Donut Breath, Make That Two Triple Cheeseburgers Lawler. I think that about covers it, huh?
It's good. I like it.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our assertiveness training coach is Lois Steen. The keeper of the bell tower is...
Yes, master. Quasi Automotive. Yes, master.
Our staff psychologist is Les Moody. Our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah, and now the IRS knows her as...
Kay Sarah, Sarah.
The chairman of our math department is Horatio Algebra. Mr. Gigi, of course, does our hair. The president of the Car Talk Hair Club for Men is Emerson Fittibaldi, who, by the way, is also a client. And, of course, last and least, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known in the gutters of Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And yes, believe it or not, this is NPR, National Public Radio.